Welcome to the Legacy House Podcast. Our mission as a church is to equip people to know God, live free, and find purpose. We express the mission of our church through adoration, biblical teaching, creativity, and discipleship. We have prepared this message for you, and we know God is going to use it to minister to you wherever you are and in whatever situation you're going through.
Your Bibles, go with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13 is where we're going to go today. And I've got a message I really believe is going to be encouraging for you this morning. That's really the goal and the hope today is that you would leave here realizing more so than you even do right now what God desires to do in your life. So Exodus chapter 13, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. Exodus 13, verse 17. This is when Pharaoh finally let the people go. God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with the battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Says Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear to do this. He said, God will certainly come and help you. When he does, you must take my bones with you from this place. So then the Israelites, they left Succoth and they camped at Etham at the edge of the wilderness. Then the Lord went ahead of them and he guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud. And he provided that light. He provided light at night by a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by both day and night. God did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. Let's pray this morning and pray that God would just bless this time together. Father, we worship you today. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that it says that it never returns void. God, that we know that when your word is proclaimed and spoken, Father, that it cancels the attack and the plan of the enemy. God, it can bring healing and restoration to our life. So Father, today as we speak about you, Lord, as we speak about your word, Father, I pray that our spirit would be encouraged. Lord, I pray that our soul would be refreshed this morning. Lord, I pray that we would encounter you today. Father, we give you praise and honor for all that you're doing. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hey, if you're taking notes with me today, I want you to write this down. This is the title of our time together. It's simply this, is that this desert is for you. This desert is for you. And I know right now you're sitting on your couch and you're like, I think you mean dessert. No, I don't mean dessert, even though that'd be great. I mean, this desert is for you. I know it seems really hard right now to rectify how we're going to take a message with the title being This Desert is for You to also be encouraging at the same time. But I think when we begin to look at Exodus chapter 13, Exodus chapter 14, it's better that we pause for a moment, kind of zoom out and get a better and a bigger idea of what's happening here. The children of Israel at this point in time, they had been held in captivity in Egypt for five generations. And through their slave labor, their toil, the lives that were lost, the repetitive abuse that they experienced generation after generation after generation, they begin to plead when Moses rose as a leader, they begin to plead that Pharaoh would let them go, right? So coming out of chapter 12 and into verse 13, we find this moment, like this big moment when all of a sudden Pharaoh lets the people go. If you were in Sunday school, you could probably see you're thinking of the song right now in your head. You're wanting to sing it so bad. Go ahead. You're in your house. Sing away. And here's kind of the moment that we find ourselves at. Like five generations of pain, right? Five generations of struggle. Five generations of toil and abuse. Five long generations of captivity. And we find ourselves here where all of a sudden the request of God's people, the children of Israel, is being granted. And now all of a sudden they're being liberated into the promised land. Where we pick up in 17, I want you to look at this again. Exodus 13, verse 17. It says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. I'm gonna say this really quick before I give you point number one. I believe that a lot of us, when we begin to talk about the children of Israel being led out of Egypt and into the promised land, I believe that a lot of us in the room, probably a lot of us even on the stage, myself included in this, before I paused and I was like, I really felt by the Holy Spirit. I was like, you need to preach out of these two chapters this weekend. Earlier this week, I was looking and reading through some stuff and I was like, man, I love the story of the Red Sea. I love the fact that the Egyptians followed them. God parted the waters. They couldn't go around it. They couldn't turn around because the enemy was behind them, but they had to go through this miracle moment. I love the whole thing. And I backed up a little bit further, and then I begin to realize that miracle moment that we see in the Red Sea, maybe you've seen it depicted in movies, or you've heard about it before in church, and the waters part, and this big miracle of a moment happens, started long before that actual event. And really, you ever played, let's do this really quick. Let's put a pause here. Let's play a quick game of word association. I'm gonna say a word, and I want you to think of, I want you to say the first word that pops into your mind, okay? When I say the word love, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? Somebody said pizza. I could hear you from here. I could hear you all the way from here. When someone says school, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? Done. That's done. Done. I don't care. I'm not going back. I don't care. I'm going to get my degree. Coronavirus. I'm just going to blame my future on that. Okay. Okay. Now do the same thing with the children of Israel. When you think about the children of Israel, what is the first thing that pops in your mind? Is it that they wandered? Is it that they were disobedient? I asked myself that question as I was in preparation for the message today, and the word that came to my mind was the word complaining. My thought with the children of Israel as they wander and they roam around is that they were complaining incessantly at every turn. But then I begin to realize that often I blame the wilderness on the children of Israel. I don't know if you've ever done this. You think about it in the biblical story, and you're like, wow, you know what? Because they're complaining. They were there for 40 years. There's something that sticks out there in verse 17 that's really important to understand. It says, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Palestinian territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said if these people are faced with battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. I'm gonna give you point number one. Point number one is this, is that not every desert is barren. Not every desert is barren. I think often when we begin to think about deserts, we think about sand dunes, we think about Five Will Goes West and tumbleweeds. Like we think about all these different things, like just that it's a barren wasteland with nothing in sight. We often think that it's the children of Israel's issues and problems and sin and rebellion and complaining that caused them to be in the wilderness. But then when you pause and you actually read the story, like, let me encourage you today to do a little bit of digging in your Bible again and begin to reread stories. Don't just rely on your past knowledge or the story that somebody else told you. Read it for yourself. Believe that the Holy Spirit can speak a fresh word to you and that he can begin to reveal a new thing. When I read the Bible here, I begin to understand that it wasn't the children of Israel who chose the wilderness, but it was God who led them there. It was God who led them to the wilderness. It even says that he knew that he wasn't taking them the main road. He knew that he wasn't leading them the shortest way, that there was a more accessible and quicker way to get there. But he chose to lead them, the Bible says, the New Living Translation says, in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. I want you to take a look at this in verse 18 where it says, so God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness. That word wilderness there in the original Hebrew is translated this way. It says that the wilderness means to pasture one's flock. It's this idea of not that he led them out into a barren, desolate, like some sort of post-apocalyptic idea to see if they were fit enough to be called Christians and believers. But the word here that's actually used in the Hebrew is this idea of what a shepherd would do, where he would lead his sheep and he would lead his goats outside of the city into an unsettled area that was remote. And it didn't have an abundance of supply, but it had sufficient supply. And he would begin to change their location. He would begin to lead them to a new place so that they could get nourishment that they did not have where they were before. Can I just encourage you this morning that not every desert you face is barren. Sometimes when we walk through difficult moments, when we walk through challenges, when we walk into, and I say difficult moments and challenges, that's a very vague way to often really what we're saying is when God leads us into new things, we almost immediately label it a desert. This is different from me, God, I don't know. Young or old, male or female, doesn't matter. We all in our flesh have a measure that is resistant to change. We push back against comfort. We think, how would God lead me? Why would God lead me into a desert? Can I just like help you understand that it wasn't the children of Israel that had to then formulate a plan on how they were going to get to the promised land, but God had already marked out the steps before them. He knew that he was going to have to lead them into some new areas. I love that like literal translation of the word, it paints the picture of an unsettled place. None of us really like the idea of being unsettled. You ever just felt like on edge, just nervous? Like you ever rode with somebody, like you get in the back of like an Uber or a Lyft and you're like, where are they going? Like, and you don't want to drive. You're like, I'm being kidnapped right now. This is what's happening. That's me. I'm not talking, young girls. I'm talking as a 34-year-old man. I'm like, this elderly lady is going to take me right now. She doesn't know where she's going. I had a guy one time, I got an Uber. I was in Atlanta and I was trying to go to the airport. The guy missed the exit for the airport 3 times in a row. I was like, my man, it's real easy. It's the same one every time. We loop back around, doesn't change. It doesn't move on you at the last minute. It's right there. And there's nothing more unsettling sometimes than riding and not knowing exactly where you're going. There's nothing that can be more unnerving sometimes than like, I know I'm going somewhere, but I'm not sure this is the right way. Just because you're in a new season of your life, just because you're in an unfamiliar season of your life, just because you're in an unfamiliar territory, don't just immediately begin to label that as a desolate desert where God can do nothing. But maybe it's in that place that God wants to do a new thing. Maybe it's in that place that he wants to begin to bring a supply to you that you could not have had if you had stayed behind. You could not have had in the place that you had always been. I love that God, we talked about it last week in the message where Jesus asked the question to Philip, and it says that he asked the question to him just to stretch his faith. It's because God likes to lead us into not desolate or desperate places, but he likes to lead us into a place where there is sufficient resource, but it's new and it heightens and renews our dependence and our focus and our need for him. Jesus is, and God represented in the Old Testament, is a picture of a true shepherd. He's a picture of one who watches the flock by day and by night. It's a representation in the same way of the Old Testament is true of the New, where the shepherd would leave the entire herd, even if it meant that one strayed away. That he was willing to lay down his life in protection from any attack that might come. But the way that the sheep could be protected is not if they tried to chart their own path in this unsettled place. But if they kept their eye on the shepherd, responded to his leading, responded to his movement, responded to his call. I love where it says there, and it says, God did not lead them along the main road. Next time in your life that you look up, you're like, hey, this is not the road I was expecting. It's very likely in that moment that God is leading. We think that if God's leading, it means that he's gonna lead us into familiar places. Maybe God wants to begin to lead us into a new place. Maybe whatever you've been struggling with, maybe you have been really burdened by insecurity in this last season. Maybe inside of this virus season, it's highlighted everything inside of you that you wish was different. And you feel like, how and why am I stuck in this moment? Like I'm ready for this to end because this is just a barren and desolate place. No, maybe God is leading us into some new areas, into some new arenas to begin to feed and source areas of our life that we've been hungry, that we've been hurting, that we've been lacking the nourishment that we need to see God begin to restore areas that we've left for dead in the past. Let's look down a little bit further. I love where it says there, it says God said that it was the shortest route to the promised land. It says if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and they might return to Egypt. Can we just say this, that God knows you better than you know yourself? God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows, he knows your strength. He knows your weakness. He knows the whole thing. He knows the insecurity. He knows the secret places of your life that you're too afraid to bring forward because you're fearful of what the response of the people around you will be. He knows all of those moments. And here you find God. The children of Israel have just been liberated, right? Pharaoh lets them go. They're pumped. They're excited. Like, this is the moment for five generations they've waited on. Can you imagine, like, put yourself, like, pause for a minute, slow down in the message, put yourself in the position of the children of Israel. You're now being led out of captivity. You know you're headed to the promised land. And, like, you're trying to keep your emotions real. Like, you ever, like, thought you were going to have a fun day, but then very quickly you begin to get indicators this wasn't going to be as fun as you thought it was? Like, it's kind of what I imagine the children of Israel doing right here. They're like, oh, yeah, we are going to the promised land. Like, put me in that carpool lane. I'm going right there. There's a million of us. Like, we're qualified. Like, we'll get there fast. We'll take the quickest route. And all of a sudden, the Lord begins to lead them down a back road. You can hear them trying to, like, encourage themselves, right? They're like, okay, all right. His ways are not my ways. Can I get an amen? They're like high-fiving each other. Like, they're amped about it. They're like, that's right. That's right. Like, his thoughts are higher than my thoughts, right? Like, they're trying to, like, remotivate themselves again. And God goes on down. He says, look, he said he did this. He led them this way, not to challenge their endurance, because he was fearful of the fact that if they faced the battle right then, they might change their minds and return back to the thing that had held them in captivity. I'll give you point number two. It's that not every battle is yours. Not every battle is yours. For 40 years. For 40 years. You have to understand, it's like, this was like the beginning of a journey. Like, it wasn't just this one moment that God spared them from. But really, as God led them into this unsettled place, this new territory, this new space for them to see him do a fresh thing, to eat from new areas, right? Like, as God leads them into this unsettled place, really the idea that you see here scripturally is that he brings them out of where they are. He brings them out of what is normal. He brings them out of what is common and routine for them so that he can begin to show them and re-instruct, re-teach them who he has called them to be. I love the fact that God is okay with you being in the wilderness as long as necessary for you to be able to get this thing right. Like, he's all right with you being there as long as you need to be. He would rather you stay in an unsettled place than enter an area that you are not yet prepared and ready for. We don't like, I know, I get it. Like, I don't either. Like, we don't like that. I mentioned Toni Braxton earlier, and, you know, young Toni, she got discovered pumping gas at a gas station. She was singing, and a record producer was there, and he heard her and signed her, and she started making millions of dollars. And we often think that's what God does for us, that it requires no effort. It requires no commitment. It requires no wilderness. It requires no desert. It doesn't require a new pasture for me to learn and to grow and to be matured in. But I'm just going to be out there just being my called self. And one day, God's going to be like, hey, you're so called, my man. I know you haven't done anything. I know you haven't been in church in 6 months, but you are ready to preach to the nations. You're called. You know what? There's a lot of people who are called who, just because they have been called, have not reached the promise of that calling. You see that, you understand, with the children of Israel. That everybody who was living in the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, Moses included, did not make it alive into the promised land. They were given a promise. They were called somewhere to go. Right now, I know what you're thinking in your head. You're like, I thought this was supposed to give me hope. And like, now you're going to tell me I'm going to die in the desert. Like, what's happening here? I get it, but hang with me here. See, because that was a choice. The problem was they begin to panic when all of a sudden it wasn't lining out like they thought. He wasn't doing what they thought he was going to do. You understand that even though God led them in a roundabout way, he brought them to the edge of the promised land. They sent out spies to go get a report. And they're like, my God, there's giants in the land. They were once again at the edge of the promise, but they let fear creep back into their heart and life. So they missed out. An entire generation of people died in the wilderness, not because they weren't called, not because God was trying to prove a point, not because he was angry and they caught him on a bad day, but it was because they were not submitting themselves to what God was trying to develop in them in that season. I'm gonna just tell you right now that not every battle is yours. But I think we get so much in our Christianity, we spend so much time focusing on winning battles. We've spent so much time on like, oh, I'm more than an overcomer. That's great. Yes, amen. But we often base the success and health of our Christianity on the victories that we feel like we're getting in battles rather than in the relationship and love and depth and harmony that we have with the Lord. Like, have you ever sat next to somebody in church who just sings off key the whole time? I know, okay, like, I don't know if any of them are here. I know some. I can name them for you, and I won't name them. You know what I mean? But like, there's, you know, you're trying to sing, and you're leaning in, and they're just next to you going, ha, like the whole time, sound like a seal trying to get a shot. Like, it's just bad. It's just rough. And you're trying to lean in, and you're like, God, please. Like, and it's hard. It's hard when there's this noise around you to focus and to see what God is trying to do, but we get so caught up in being victorious. We get so caught up in the victories that we have that we forget the refining, the harmony. A lot of us are like that person singing out a key. We know the lyrics to the song, but we don't sound like the Father when we say it. You ever, this is why I'm gonna paint that a little bit better. Do a better job of that for you. We know the Christian things to say. We know the verses to read over ourselves. But we're just reciting knowledge and information that resides in our mind. Not a true deep work of the Holy Spirit that's transformed our heart. And my God, my hope for you is that you would stop taking on battles that God has not called you to. That you would stop trying to forcefully win things that God has not he's not led you into, but he is actually actively trying to shield you from it because he knows where you are mentally right now, that if you get in the midst of that battle, you're going to get defeated because you're still growing and being strengthened in Christ. And if you get defeated, he knows that surely you're gonna go back to what you know, and what you know is Egypt. You used to hear old time preachers say, the children of Israel, they got out of Egypt, but they had a hard time getting Egypt out of them. It's the same thing that's so true with us. Sometimes it's easy to make an initial life change. And we take a couple steps, we do a couple things different, we change our profile picture to something more appropriate. You know what I mean? Like, we're like, hey, cleaning my life up, right? But it's like, it's works of our life and works of our flesh, not a true transformation of our heart. And God is not concerned or mesmerized by public declaration. He's looking for a depth of soul and a depth of character and a depth of integrity. And he's willing to leave us in the desert until we're ready. Before you're like, I'm gonna die out here. Like, remember what the desert is. The desert isn't barren. There is sufficient nourishment for you. Really what it is it's specific nourishment. There's a common thing, there's a common place that the shepherd would typically lead his flock. But then there were special times that they needed something a little bit different. God is leading you into some special places. This season for all of us is a special place. Now, we've never been here before. You know what? If you're watching today, God has sustained your life. He didn't lead you here to die here. He's got a specific work that he wants to do in you. Look, we're coming to the end of this. Some of you are like, right now you're like, no, we're not. Okay, calm down, okay? Like, it's gonna be 3 more years. And you're like reposting this on Facebook like heresy from Legacy House. Like, okay, calm down before you attack me online. We're coming to the end of this. And I'm just being honest, I think there's a lot of people who are about to miss the moment that this could be for them. There's a lot of you that are about to miss this moment. Not the experience of it, but the transformation of it. Lord, we don't need more experiences. My God, we can stack up experiences all day long. We can go toe-to-toe with somebody talking about our testimony. Like, one time I got drunk. And like, well, one time I got really drunk. Like, okay, we can go toe-to-toe with our experiences that we've walked through. God isn't looking for you to have some sort of impressive resume of sin that you have overcome. He's looking for you to have transformed lives, hearts, and minds that you can realize the specific thing that God is trying to do. You're like, where? Like, our girls almost every night request macaroni and broccoli. They want macaroni and cheese and broccoli every single night. We're like, we don't feed them macaroni and cheese and broccoli every night. But if you ask them, hey, what do you want? They're like, macaroni and cheese and broccoli. And if you ask them what they want for breakfast, they say chicken minis. Every time. Doesn't matter. Don't you want chicken minis? I'm like, hey, you live a privileged life. Knock that off. Like, you know, today we're just eating uncooked rice. That's why we don't do that. Just raw rice. But you know what I mean? Like, often we're like, this isn't what I wanted though. I'm used to something else. Where's the grass that I love? I guess I'm not one that he loves. You know what I mean? Like, we immediately spiral into this place because it's uncommon, and we begin to think, wait a minute, why have I been led to this spot? I love that Jesus said, or that God said here in the book of Exodus, he didn't lead them the main way because he knew he needed to lead them a different way. Because he knew that where they were mentally in that moment, that if they faced the battle, they would change their mind. God will lead you away from the battle so that you have time to enter the promise that he has for you the right way. He'll direct you away from a hill that you don't need to die on in this moment so that you can receive the work that God wants to do in you. Some of us get saved and then we become the salvation police for everybody around us. Hey, my life's changed. You still smoking? You smell like smoke. I think you smoke still. You know what I mean? Like, wait, that's not what God has called you to right now. But you understand, that's not just something for new believers or new Christians. There's a lot of people who you're watching this morning and you've said for a long time all the things that you were going to do for God. Hey, I feel like I got a call of God in my life. What are we doing with it? Are we allowing it to be developed inside of us? Are we not getting caught? Because I think battles are more than just like us fighting against evil. I think sometimes it's us dealing with our insecurity. I think it's us looking at the areas of our life that we need healing. And sometimes the Lord just wants to bring us to himself. I think we've lost that in this point of human history. We've lost what it means just to spend time with God, just to be there and just to hear from him. With no agenda or plan, but just to sit and say, Father, I need to hear from you. God, I need you in my life so bad. Just don't forget the fact that the Lord knows how much time that you need. He knows how much time you need. Let me give you the last, third and final thing. Thirdly, we're gonna close. Patrick's gonna come, play the keys more. Wrap this day together. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. See, I love this too because like God didn't get distracted by the front they tried to put on. Like, hey, we'll take on giants. Like, we've been liberated. Like, I think that's, I was thinking about this as we were getting ready, is that God's plan and hope for us is more than just liberation to like release us and free us into the wild blue yonder, but he liberates us so that he can lead us. Like, he liberates us so that the master will change in our life, that we'll stop allowing our lives to be mastered by our flesh and we'll start allowing our lives to be in lordship and in submission to Christ. One time for Easter, I bought Bethany 2 ducks. It's a real thing. I went to Tractor Supply and I bought Bethany 2 ducks. I don't know why. I think she probably, we were probably driving in a car and she said, there's a duck. And I was like, she wants one. I got to get her one. She wants a duck. What can I do? The reality was I probably was like wanted a duck. And so I got 2 ducks. I built a duck house. in our backyard. It's true. And the ducks were a lot of fun and no fun all at the same time. They grew really fast. One of my favorite memories of our duck experience was we were in the backyard and Bethany was trying to get the ducks to come up to her. And because, I mean, what's the point of having a duck if you can't train it? And I remember her running around the backyard chasing these ducks saying, "Why won't you love me?" And I was like, see, she wanted them. She loves ducks. And so anyways, the ducks got too big and they were like not even cool ducks. They were just all white ducks. And so I was like, nah, I don't want that. And so we literally took these ducks, true story. We loaded them up in our car in our two-door Pontiac G5. I know, pretty dope. And so we loaded them up in our car and we took them to Bayview Park. True story. I don't know if you can release ducks in the wild. I figured you could. I don't know if you can release ducks at public parks, but we did. And so we released these ducks. And then, you know, it's like, what do you do when you release them? We literally released the ducks. And we're like, I guess we'll just drive away now. And the ducks like didn't know what to do. Like they waddled down to the water, you know, like ducks, and had the time of their life, I'm sure. But I think sometimes we have a mistaken understanding of God. That he's come to liberate my life so that I can be free to do whatever I want to do. That the work of the cross, that the liberation of the children of Israel out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt was so that now I can be who I want to be. But it's that God would liberate me from my sin so that I can see clearly and truly who he has called me to be. Third and finally is that not every cloud is trouble. The Bible says that they were led. It says the Israelites left Succoth and they camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. It says, then the Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day by a pillar of cloud and he provided light at night by a pillar of fire. And this allowed them to travel by both day and night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. The Lord wants to begin to bring some healing to your life. He wants to begin to renew and restore the trauma that you've experienced in your life. He wants to bring some healing. Do you understand today that there's some healing in your life that can only come through the Holy Spirit? Praise God for your counselor. Praise God for your therapist. Like we have put more people through therapy as a church in the last 2 years. It's well over 150 people now that we've sent through therapy who are, whether it's couples or kids or individuals who've walked through some real trauma and they've needed to talk to a professional. But let me just tell you, you can have the best professionals in the world, but there's only one Holy Spirit who can restore the deep areas of your life, who can begin to heal the areas that you've been hurting and broken. But the problem is that when we experience trauma and when we see generational and systemic oppression, it begins to change the very nature and fabric and DNA of the lives of men and women. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, and this season has done so much. We've experienced so many highs and lows in the midst of this virus and in the midst of all of the racism that's been re-exposed again. It was never hidden. It was just ignored. And we find ourselves in these moments and we try to figure out, how do we move forward from here? How do I make it across the Red Sea? How do I not get swept up by the water or paralyzed and frozen still by fear? How do I get through this thing? We can't go back. We can't go around it. We have to go through it. But what God wants to begin to do, I believe, is a work that's deeper than just simply social justice. I believe it's a work that's deeper than just change schedules and teleworking from home. But there's a restoration that needs to happen inside of our hearts and our lives. There's a restoration that needs to happen inside of our nation that can only happen by the Holy Spirit. And until we collectively as a body and as a people are willing to lay down political agendas over that we allow to foreshadow the truth of Scripture, where we follow natural leadership over Holy Spirit leadership. Where every cloud that comes along is trouble. Every story that's shared is false news. Every heartbreaking account of another life lost and the senseless murder. Are all reflections of the redemption that we need. Maybe if we stop taking so much time to shout at the world around us, we just begin to focus on what God wanted to do in me. Look, stand up for those. The Bible's very clear. Let me just clarify that statement. The Bible's very clear that we have to be vocal for the oppressed. We have to be a vocal for the abused and for the rejected, for the widowed and the orphaned. We have to be. Those who are marginalized. But let's don't get so caught up in the noise of everything that we forget what God is trying to do in you. Look, not every cloud is trouble. Often in the scripture, the cloud was a fulfillment of God's promise. He knew that they needed a visible sign to follow. Everything that you see happening around you isn't a moment to run and hide and try to hunker down until the storm passes over. Your call in this season is not to be silent in the face of racism. Your call in this season is not to be silent until the virus passes. Then you can come back out again and be like, hey, I'm here. Like, crazy, huh? But to speak what God speaks, to love the way that Christ loves. Not every object in your life, not everything that you feel surrounded by is a sign of trouble. But it can be a sign of God's provision. Think about Elisha and Elijah. He told the servant to keep running up the hill because Elijah had spoken and said there'd be no rain in the land. And for years, there had been no rain. And he prophesied that the Lord was going to bring rain again. And he kept sending Elisha, the young servant, up the hill. And he said, check, look out on the horizon, see if you see a cloud. And time again, he didn't see a cloud. Time and time again, again and again and again and again. And on the seventh time that he ran that mountain, the Bible says that he looked out over the horizon. He saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. But let's set our eyes on what God is doing in this moment. That every cloud that we face, every situation is not something that we have to run from or hide from, but they're opportunities to reveal the nature of the Holy Spirit. They're opportunities to share who Christ is. Look, this desert's for you. This season was for you. This time away and the norm being broken up was for you. It's a specific place that God wants to do a new thing inside of your life. Can we just pray today all across the room? Father, today we thank you. Jesus, we worship you today. Holy Spirit, we pray right now that your word would just refresh us. Lord, I pray that we would be reminded, Lord, that not every desert is barren. Just because you're leading us into an unsettled place, Father, it does not mean that you have left us in an unsettled place. But Father, you're leading to a new area. God, you're leading to a specific work. Lord, you're leading to a place that you want to do a fresh thing inside of us again. Father, we thank you, Lord, that not every battle is ours. That we can stop trying to fight out of our own strength, but Lord, we can rest in you, Lord, that we can rely on you, Lord, that we can trust the timing of God, that in your right season, Lord, that you know us better than we know ourselves. And when the moment is right and the time is right, Lord, you'll lead us into the promise so we don't have to push or get angry or frustrated about where we are. But Lord, we can rely on you, that there is a specific work you desire to do in our life. And Father, we pray, Lord, that as we're in this place, God, and we look at all of the circumstances and situations that we're surrounded by, Lord, that we wouldn't run every time we see something new, but Lord, there would be a faith and a boldness inside of us that says that the cloud that we see is a leading of the Holy Spirit. It's guiding us. It's directing us. It's calling us to go towards it, Lord. I love what you said in your scripture, Father, that the cloud and the fire was always in front of them. It wasn't to the left or to the right. It wasn't behind, but Lord, it led the way. Father, I pray that we as a body would be reminded, Lord, of the fact that you want to lead us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would be wrecked by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would be awake at night by, Lord, what you're doing on the earth. Father, I pray that we would see hurt. Lord, I pray that we would see injustice. Lord, I pray that we would see friends and family members who are lost. And Lord, I pray that our heart would be stirred more than just a momentary response with our mind and our mouth. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be gripped with compassion. Lord, and our hearts would be gripped with a burden, Lord, to see people come back to you. Father, please don't let us be a church that just rides this storm out. But God, let us be a church that's transformed. Lord, that you do a new thing inside of us. Father, today we pray that this desert wouldn't be wasted in our indifference. But Lord, that our eyes would be open to what you desire to do. Father, today we give you praise and honor. We give you glory for how you're working. And in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. You can find more info and resources from Legacy House on our website, www.legacyhouse.life, or by following us on social media under the handle @LegacyHouseFL. Don't miss next week's podcast, From Our House to Yours.